If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two, live right here on this Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid to set the stage for Final Four week in men's college basketball, with two more spots in the women's Final Four to be determined on this Monday evening as well. A little bit later on in this hour, our coach, J.Y. James Young, will be with us to break down what we saw this weekend during the Elite Eight. And, of course, to take an early look at the Final Four, we'll continue to look at the early lines here on the Early Line for our Final Four matchups on Saturday evening in San Antonio. A lot to get to here, Joe, in this second hour, including the opening weekend of the Major League Baseball season as well.
What an absolute crazy weekend it was, Ben. And let's be realistic, it's going to get even crazier over the next couple of weeks as well.
It's what we love right now in college hoops. Of course, the NBA season coming to a close, the regular season in the next 2 weeks, Major League Baseball beginning, all really good stuff. The NFL draft on the horizon at the end of this month, or starting tomorrow, the end of this month, because tomorrow is April 1st. Joe, we talked about Florida and Auburn, our first Final Four matchup on Saturday night. Again, the second meeting, that's it, between these SEC foes on Saturday in San Antonio. Florida winning the opening matchup of the year on the road as a double-digit dog against the Tigers. Auburn has not been an underdog since the middle of their conference slate on the road in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. Just game number four for Auburn as a dog this year. Let's quickly look at the nightcap on Saturday. Duke and Houston, the Blue Devils, a 4.5-point favorite in a total that stands at 136.5. Duke is the national championship favorite, where they were to start this season, where they were to begin the big dance, and now where they will be entering the Final Four. But, Joe, just how competitive do you think this game is going to be between the Blue Devils and the Cougs?
I think it's going to be extremely competitive. And we had mentioned earlier that a lot of the players on Houston were on the team a year ago that lost in the Sweet 16 to Duke, and they were very banged up at that time, Houston. They didn't have Jamal Sheed, who was, of course, their leader and their best player. He didn't play, and yet they still almost upended Duke in that game, 54-41. Now, Duke is a different team as well here, so right. But there is a revenge factor on this Houston side with guys that were there a year ago that is not on with the Duke side. So I think Duke, if they're going to lose, this is probably the game that you've got the best shot of them being knocked out.
A very different Duke team, of course, led by the outstanding freshman class, Cooper Flagg, Con Canipal, Kamon Maliwach in that starting lineup. But do not forget Patrick Dungba or Isaiah Evans off the bench. A couple of different transfers this year for the Blue Devils as well. First Final Four berth and then now the three-year tenure, the three-year era of John Shire in Durham. Jamal Shedd gone for Houston. But a lot of those guys are back. Juwan Roberts, Emmanuel Sharp, LJ Cryer. It was a Sweet 16 matchup last year. Low-scoring affair. We only barely got to the century mark between the two. Duke winning as a slight underdog, catching about 3.5 points, 54 51. Duke now the favorite, laying 4.5 points against Houston. A lot of money on the Blue Devils early. About 84% of the spread bets on FanDuel early on Duke. Quickly move this number to 5.5. A little bit of buyback in the market on Houston. That number now at 4.5 points in favor of the Cougs. So we showed you the national championship odds. Let's take it the individual approach here, Joe, to start off this second hour. Most outstanding player odds for the Final Four. And that is a big distinction. As we have tried to remind everybody throughout the big dance, it doesn't really matter what you have done to get to this point individually based on those performances, outside of the fact that your team is still here in the Final Four. Most outstanding player determined by this weekend, Saturday and Monday in San Antonio. No surprise, Joe, to see Cooper Flagg as the favorite, plus 120.
The two guys there should be, right? Cooper Flagg and Walter Clayton Jr., if those two teams end up advancing and meeting for the championship. I think Broome's injury is interesting now. What if they don't advance, they lose to Florida? But I, you know, I'm looking at Knippel here, and while Cooper Flagg is the easiest one, the value is on the other side with his teammate there, who, by the way, carried them offensively in that last game. It was not Cooper Flagg, who did not have a great game shooting the ball. It was Knippel who actually carried the offense there. So I find that number interesting, Ben, at plus 3,000.
21 points for Con Knippel, Saturday night's leading scorer in that East Regional Final in Newark. Also at 20 against Arizona. I still think, Joe, based on a narrative, if you were to give an MVP of the East Region over the weekend, it probably would have been Cooper Flagg just based on narrative. I'm not so sure there is value in those favorites. I'd just rather bet Duke at plus 105 if I have not made the wager already to win a national championship. I'd rather bet Florida at plus 270 than Walter Clayton Jr. at plus 380. Sure, $1.10 could be more in my pocket based on that number, but then you are also allowing the opportunity for a guy like Thomas Houck or Will Richard or Elijah Martin to have a huge weekend in the Final Four to lead Florida to a national championship. It is those secondary players that if you want a small sprinkle, that's where you find some value. I would say Jahni Broome's price is interesting. 5-1 number on Auburn to win a national championship. Longest of our four teams that have reached San Antonio, $3.50 back for Auburn's best player by a good margin. That is Jahni Broome. Could be worth a sprinkle just based on value compared to that national championship price.
Well, yeah, you have to consider it, right? Because if you're talking about narrative, Ben, as much narrative and hype that Cooper Flagg has, and by the way, all warranted, you know, the hype around Broome right now and what he did coming in, pulling the old, you know, Willis Reed act there yesterday, coming back in against Michigan State, one arm, you know, he's chucking up, making threes. He's still rebound. You know, the narrative is all of a sudden switched here a little bit. So he is maybe the wild card of all the names on that list right now.
And you see how Houston goes about it. Strength in numbers for Kelvin Sampson and the crew and the Cougs. LJ Cryer 10-1. Milos Yuzan 16-1. Emmanuel Sharp 23-1. Jawan Roberts 27-1. Houston, the most players in the 10 best prices to win the MLP. That's kind of how they do it, based on depth and balance. Good luck finding the needle in the haystack, if you will. Might as well just bet the Cougars at a plus 470 price, whatever that number is. Let me 4-1 price, excuse me, to win a national championship. Outside of our teams in the Final Four, Joe, a storyline, sadly, entering the second weekend for a Maryland Terrapins team that had reached the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016 was the focus on their egotistical individual head coach. That is Kevin Willard, making the story about his job status, throwing the entirety of the Maryland Athletics Department under the bus, only to take a new job at Villanova. What we knew was going to happen at some point after the Terps were bounced from the big dance was officially announced in the early morning hours on Sunday. Kevin Willard, the new head coach on the main line at Villanova.
Yeah, you know, listen, in these type of situations, Ben, we all understand there's enough blame to go around. And while, yes, He went ahead and made it very public. It's all about leverage in these spots, right? And so ultimately, he would have only put himself in a spot to make more money. I don't blame a guy for doing that. I do think, though, they did drag their feet in Maryland and allowed it to get to this point, which is unfortunate for everyone involved.
He kind of held them up hostage slightly. Maryland did answer his demands. Listen, a lot to be done for a guy that has been a head coach at the D1 level for 18 years and has one Sweet 16 berth to show for it based on an outstanding lottery pick freshman and Derek Queen. That's all I'll say. Our coach, James Young, joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The scouting report for the mind of our coach. It is J.Y. James Young joining us live right here on this Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid to look back one final time at the Elite Eight and what it all means for the Final Four on Saturday night in San Antonio. J.Y., as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here bright and early on this Monday on the early line.
Didn't I just see you yesterday in New York? It's great to be on with you. Joe, this is way better than having DRS this morning.
Yeah, you know the hard-hitting questions will not be there from DRS. Joe Ranieri will ask you only what we need to know. J.Y., let's look back on what we saw yesterday. You and I live on Sports Grid's Bracket Central for opening game of the day between Houston and Tennessee. We were not together for the nightcap between the number one overall seed in Auburn, winning the South Regional Final against the two seed in that portion of the bracket, Michigan State. Auburn really ahead by double digits for a good majority of the second half, but still holding on to win by 60-64, and covering as a 5.5-point favorite. Frankly, J.Y., I think you could say the performance yesterday might have been the Tigers' most complete for the entirety of this NCAA tournament. What stood out to you about Bruce Pearl's Tigers?
Just this, the competitive spirit. Obviously, to play Jani Broome, who's absolutely fantastic. You know, they ran into a couple of spots, Ben, where they struggled to score at times. One time late in the first half when Jani was out of the game, and obviously when he got hurt. But just the play of them overall with Jani getting 25 and 14, just a monster performance. Pettiford with a nice performance off the bench with 10 points. And to me, you know, even though they didn't shoot the ball from three well, they really held Michigan State down. They played really that defense that we've come to see out of Bruce Pearl's team that we haven't seen, let's be honest, Ben, in the last couple of weeks. This is the Auburn team that we've been waiting to see, let's be honest, for the better part of the last two and a half weeks. Great performance. I thought that there was going to be a puncher's chance by Michigan State, but anytime they made a run, Ben, it seems like they came back with another run to kind of put the game away.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Coach, because we've seen in a few games now here in the Elite Eight where these games were over in the first half. They were decided in the first half here. I'm wondering if that trend continues, because in the Final Four, it feels like these all four number ones, you can't spot them 10 points in the first half here, Coach, and realistically expect to come back.
No, and Joe, you have four of the best teams in the country, according to KenPom. I mean, record shattering, you know, 35 plus in net rating. But to me, you have four teams, I should say, that are top notch offensively and defensively and well coached and honestly balanced, where they can kind of rely on different guys. So I don't think you'll see games get far away. I do like the competitive spirit of some of these games. Obviously, Tennessee, when Ben and I were together, seeing them not quit and give up, seeing how hard Michigan State played down the stretch. This is going to be a really exciting Final Four. I don't care if people are like, oh, anticlimactic. You have the four best teams lined up, superstar coaches, young coaches, old coaches, veteran teams, young teams. This has got a lot of great storylines heading to the Final Four this weekend.
To answer J.Y.'s point right there, or to maybe even add to it, J.Y., as we discussed, in the last 20 NCAA tournaments entering this year, there were three total teams in a 20-year span on KenPom with a net rating at plus 35 or better. All four teams on the one line this year had a plus 35 net rating or better. All four of those teams have now reached the ultimate destination in a Final Four. JY, you and I were together. Houston winning by 19, 69-50 against Tennessee. We talked about the Cougs being dominant, so let's go back to Saturday night as well, as Houston will now take on Duke. Duke dominant against Alabama with an 85-65 victory. What stood out to you most about Duke's defensive display against the Crimson Tide, and how much of a challenge are the Blue Devils in for on Saturday evening in San Antonio against Houston?
Well, the way they defended the three-point line, man, we talked about it with them, Alabama. We were on together when Alabama hit 25 out of 53s on Thursday night, right? So to me, what you saw out of Duke is their ability to defend and defend better at an extremely high level, really taking a guy like Mark Sears and really neutralizing him, making him 2-for-12 from the floor. It was a great performance defensively by a team that you got to throw away age, right? But that's going to be the big thing coming out of the matchup come Saturday between Houston and Duke. A team with Archino, with Francis, with Tugler, you know, with obviously Cryer and Sharp, right, and the Junkyard Dog, Ron Roberts. All of these guys are pretty much 20, 21, 22 years of age versus a young Duke team. Can they answer the bell again? I think it's such an intriguing matchup for two teams that are really good offensively, but play slow pace. This is going to be a really exciting game. Low scoring, but exciting game on Saturday night.
It just feels like automatically, give me the under. Give me the first half under and give me the full game under. I don't expect either of these teams to come out and light it up, do you?
No, and I think what you have too, Joe, is you have two teams that are excellent defensively at rim protection. I mean, between, you know, Maliok and obviously Cooper Flagg being arguably the best defensive player in the country, with Tugler, with Roberts, you know, with Francis, you know, they got shot blockers on the other side. So now what you're going to see is guys get up into space, and if you funnel them to the rim, you got rim protectors all over the place. It is not going to get easy for either team to score. It'll be a matter of who takes advantage of the possession, who stays out of foul trouble, or with the young coach in John Shire or the seasoned veteran Kelvin Sampson, which one makes enough adjustments to get the win.
Florida, a come-from-behind victory on Saturday evening in San Francisco, down by 10 with under 5.5 minutes remaining, storming all the way back to beat Texas Tech, 84-79. Quickly here, JY, all SEC affair in our opening game of the Final Four on Saturday, and the Gators are a slight 2.5-point favorite. Is the right side favored in that matchup against Auburn?
I ain't going against Florida. I keep doing it. I keep losing. So I'm not going against this team anymore. Too much hype, too much athleticism. And when it gets close, Walter Clayton Jr. could be the guy that bails them out again.
Yep. That's what he's done throughout the entirety of this tournament. Let's talk the women's big dance with two more spots in the Final Four at stake on this Monday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, our coach James Young, JY, with us for a second consecutive segment. Final Four set in the men's NCAA tournament. Two more spots on the line on this Monday in the Elite Eight in the women's big dance. The two that have already been claimed. South Carolina, a test yesterday against Duke, but surviving at the bitter end to win by 4-55-50. The number one overall seed in UCLA, a tough battle against LSU, but the Bruins have reached the Final Four for the first time in women's program history. The two games that we have today, a battle in the Lone Star State, not played in Texas, but between Texas and TCU, and later tonight, UConn and USC. Maybe not the matchup we were hoping for with Paige Beckers and Connecticut and Juju Watkins and USC. Of course, Watkins, a torn ACL, out for the remainder of the big dance, but UConn a hefty favorite. JY, let's start with that first matchup. Texas, a 7.5-point favorite against TCU. This is a TCU team that you know very, very well. The Horned Frogs, an underdog, but how do you think TCU matches up with the Longhorns today?
Yeah, I think it's about, you know, defending two players. It's about, dealing with Booker and dealing with the point guard. It's pretty good. When you look at this matchup, it's really going to come down to how well TCU's big three play. Haley Van Lith was absolutely sensational with 26 points in their win last matchup versus Notre Dame, being the best player on the floor with, you know, two arguably top five draft picks when they go into WNBA and her dog going miles. But to me, it's going to be the play of Sedona Prince and Madison Cotter. Sedona Prince, who's been around for a long time, 6'7", scores inside and out, rim protection, presence down low. And then there's Madison Cotter, who's the sniper and the shooter. These three girls went off for 60 out of their 71 points. TCU, I feel like they're going to be in this game. 7.5 is way too much of a spread for this matchup. I expect TCU to be in this game. And honestly, when you lined up the 4-1 seeds, if there was the one, this is before Juju got hurt, of course, if there was a one seed that was most susceptible to getting picked off, it's Texas. I think TCU covers the spread, and I think there is a chance, not a big chance, but a chance that they could steal it.
Van Lith, I believe, Coach, first in men's or women's tournament history to make it to the Elite Eight with three different teams. Absolutely unbelievable, that experience.
And five years.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Nobody has more experience than UConn there and Gino. And I'm watching the board, Coach. It's being lit up in bet right now. I'm seeing minus 15 showing up against USC and the other side. Are we laying 15?
It's hard to say to lay 15 with UConn if they're playing inconsistent, what they've showed in spots in the first half. But, Joe, their offense is so dynamic. And I'm going to say this. This is the best I've seen Paige look since her freshman year. And that's crazy saying that, right? She's in her bag. But when you add AZ Fudd, when you add a KK Arnold, when you add, you know, all these other players to this roster, they just have so much depth, and they hit you in waves. And you look at it like the NBA, right? When a star player comes down, and Ben was talking about during the break, it's a smart point he was saying, first game is usually when everybody rises up to the challenge. It's the second game you worry about, and now it's only a one-day prep. They will get revenge and win. I'm going to wait. If the game is slow early and that line drops down a little bit, then I'm going to jump on UConn, because I think at some point in the second half, they blow this game open.
It's a really good point, JY, to see where it could be because of the preparation time now for Lindsey Gottlieb and USC without Juju Watkins. They escaped past K-State on Saturday as an ever so slight 1.5-point favorite. We'll see if they can get to the Final Four and play a huge spoiler tonight. Keep an eye on Sarah Strong as well for Connecticut. 15.5 points is her prop. JY, because of how the bracket has shaken out, UConn is the national championship favorite in minus money at minus 125 in front of South Carolina, in front of UCLA. What do you think the best bet on the board is in the final 30 seconds?
It's UConn. And I took UConn weeks ago, months ago. They've been really red hot. And I kind of think that this is the swan song for Paige, maybe the swan song for Gino. Go out with a national championship.
Mm. Whoa! What do you know about Gino Auriemma?
I'm just projecting. I just think he's getting to the end of the road. And if you go out, you go out on top.
Guys got sources. Guys got sources. JY, we appreciate it as always. We'll see you later this week. A fadeaway to the break. It's Major League Baseball week next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Opening weekend of this Major League Baseball season in 2025. The headlines, the news, and the results that you need to know from the first weekend of the year in MLB. And Joe, one of the big storylines to begin this year on the baseball diamond, the offensive power up in the Bronx. A 12-3 win yesterday, for the Yankees against the Brewers, highlighting a highly offensive weekend for the Pinstripes. In total, they hit 15 home runs in their sweep of the Brew Crew. 15 total home runs, just two on opening day on Thursday, won that game 4-2. They had 9 home runs, second most ever in a single game for New York, winning 20-9 on Saturday. 4 dingers yesterday in the 12-3 win. A lot of that Aaron Judge, a lot of that Jazz Chisholm, a lot of that the torpedo bats. Chisholm and Anthony Volpe, the only two guys with those restructured, redefined bats that bring more of the lumber to the sweet spot in the middle of the barrel. But still, whatever way you slice it, a great opening weekend for the Yanks up in the Bronx. A sweep of the Brewers in 36 total runs scored.
Yeah, and so the question you have to ask is, I mean, listen, it's a team called the Bronx Bombers here, Ben. This should not come as that big a surprise. The real question is, how bad is the Milwaukee Brewers pitching? Is it more that it's the Yankee hitting and these torpedo bats, or is it the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers pitching staff is absolutely putrid? Time will tell here, but if I'm the New York Yankees and I'm getting that kind of power and production up and down the lineup, then Juan Soto, who? I'm not sure anybody cares at that point. But it's going to be interesting to see, and we'll know against Arizona coming up here. Is it the bats? Is it the players? Or is it just the pitching is atrocious here?
Yeah, I don't know. Milwaukee off to a slow start. They did score 14 runs, but they allowed 36. Again, 9 home runs for the Yankees on Saturday in their victory against Milwaukee. That is an incredibly impressive stuff. The Yanks have scored the most runs in MLB, and it's not particularly close. And the Dodgers have played 5 games, including their first 2 in Tokyo, of course, sweeping the Cubbies. The Dodgers now off to a perfect 5-0 start, a great beginning for the reigning World Series champs, who had a ridiculously high win total of 104 and a hook entering this year. But with a ridiculous roster, the Dodgers are making good. The Padres also unbeaten, a 4-game sweep of the Atlanta Braves. The Braves entered with a second best NL pennant price behind LA to begin the year in the St. Louis Cardinals, a team, Joe, that has often been booked as the favorites to begin baseball seasons in the NL Central. Not this time around. An impressive 3-game sweep of the Minnesota Twins in this opening weekend.
Yeah, maybe that was the most surprising, really, because St. Louis, I didn't have them winning 70 games, much less, holding serve against a pretty good Minnesota team that I've got some expectations for that has everyone healthy and the better bullpen and starting pitching. So that was a little bit of a surprise, but again, not a whole lot to read into so far after one weekend. Some positive signs and some head-scratching teams, but if the Miami Marlins walk off one more game this year, Ben, one more. They've got 3 seasons worth of walk-offs in 3 games this week. I think they're good to go.
We've got some day baseball on this Monday as well. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. Really great action over the weekend. And shout out to a frequent guest on the early line in the new radio play-by-play voice of the Miami Marlins, our guy Jack McMullen. He's on the mic for his first 4 games for the Fish, and they went 3-4 via walk-off against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Maybe he's a good luck charm. There is certainly some March magic in Miami for the Marlins to begin this year. By the way, the Braves swept by the Padres. They will stay in Southern California to visit the unbeaten LA Dodgers at a perfect 5-0 tonight, a marquee matchup to begin this week in Major League Baseball. A lot of conversation, Joe, entering this year for the Boston Red Sox. Third best price to win the American League pennant. But between the new acquisition and Alex Bregman and Rafael Devers, who would man the hot corner? Who would play third for Boston this season? Ultimately, Bregman wins out, despite the fact that Rafi Devers still wanted to be in the field. So he's just the designated hitter for the Sox this year. It started the season in an 0-16 slump with 12 strikeouts, the most ever for Rafael Devers in a 4-game span in his MLB career.
Yeah, a little shocking to say the least here, but yeah. The beautiful thing is, man, with a 162-game season, he's got plenty of time to turn it around here, plenty of time to turn it around. But it does make you wonder, are we dealing with an injury we don't know about here?
Yeah, we'll see. A slow start, to say the least. The Sox, in total, dropping three of their first four games in their opening weekend set against the Texas Rangers. Two teams at a plus 750 price for the Red Sox and an 8-1 number on the Rangers that maybe had some value to win the American League pennant because of the injury to Gerrit Cole for the New York Yankees and some of those nagging injuries along the starting staff. And then the Yanks sweep the Brewers and score 36 runs, and maybe there's no issues in New York at this moment. Max Scherzer placed on the injured list with thumb inflammation in his season debut. Three innings of work, two earned runs in three hits, just 1K on Saturday. Scherzer's now a member of the Blue Jays, right? Well, he's on the IL early on in Toronto.
Yeah, it not good here. There were a couple of, 40-plus-year-old pitchers that I was looking to fade this weekend, especially with the K props. He was one of them, and I thought maybe he'd get to the fourth inning or so, but he didn't look right from the start, and who knew he had a thumb injury that he's been dealing with.
Yeah, not great for Max Scherzer for the Blue Jays. They are 2-2 to start this year. Toronto's opening weekend for the Blue Jays to begin. They split with the Baltimore Orioles. Did win the finale on Sunday, 3-1. Of course, a lot could change for this Toronto team that has had a lot of optimism the last few years. Not quite this year, of course, with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in what will happen. I bet on Vladdy Jr. with the advice of Tom Vecchio, not blaming Tom by any means, to be the MLB home run leader this year. Well, not a great start for Vladdy, especially when you look at what Aaron Judge did this weekend for the Yanks. And already, Joe, Aaron Judge, a minus money favorite to win his third AL MVP award in the last 4 years. A 3-1 number entering the year, second best price behind Bobby Witt Jr. at plus 280, now into minus money. 6 of 11, that's a 545 average, 4 home runs, 11 RBIs, and now already a minus money favorite after just 3 games in 1 weekend for the New York Yankees.
Absolutely no overreaction there, Ben, at all.
Zero.
I think the market is spot on there. Finger on the pulse, market. That's way to go. You want to talk about recency bias. That entire futures market of MVPs and Cy Young are basically going to change every time a guy strikes out, hits a home run, or gets a win as a pitcher. Unbelievable.
Yeah, a little bit too much, you would say, Joe. Plus 134 Judge, by the way, to be the home run leader this year around MLB. To hit 50-plus is now minus 160. It was plus 110 before the year got underway. Let's not forget Eugenio Suarez. He also has 4 long balls already this year for the Arizona Diamondbacks, matching Aaron Judge atop MLB. That is a tremendous swing from 3-1 to minus 110 after only 11 swings of the at-bat for Aaron Judge this year as well. Again, a pretty full Monday slate around Major League Baseball with a bunch of games in the early hours on this Monday afternoon. We'll talk about it a little bit later on, but this show is known as The Early Line. We always try to get that early forecast. We'll do that for the Final Four on Saturday in San Antonio next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sure, it's about 5 days away. A Saturday night in San Antonio for a Final Four. But with how good this Final Four is set to be, for just the second time ever in the history of the men's NCAA tournament, we have all 4 1 seeds that have advanced to a Final Four. We got to take an early look because we can mark it right now where the market is and then see where it changes in the coming day. So we will break down both of our matchups on Saturday with that early line approach in our early leans here on the early line. All SEC affair, Joe, in our first game of 2, Saturday night inside the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Florida and Auburn. The Gators a slight favorite despite not being the number one overall seed. 2.5-point spread in a total at 160 and a hook. We talked about the spread earlier. You believe, as do I, that Florida is very justified as that slight favorite against Auburn. Let's talk that point total here to begin. 160 and a hook. Both teams as efficient as you would like on the offensive end of the floor, but neither team a slouch defensively. How many points do you think we see on Saturday in San Antonio to start?
Well, I can tell you this. The market has been doing nothing but hammering the under in this one. 162.5 is an open, Ben, and we're seeing nothing but under money come in down to 160.5 here. And listen, big stage, Final Four, I get it. These two teams, Ben, in many aspects are like looking in a mirror at one another. They both excel at a lot of the same things. They both have some depth. They've got shooters. I think Florida does have an edge as far as some of the big men that they can throw out there. And they also have the knowledge and the experience of having dropped 90 on this Auburn team in that first game in their own building and getting it done. So I think that game alone, although I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock into what we had in that game. Again, it might as well have been years ago, but they did not have one of their 7-footers, Florida. Broom was actually pretty good in that game, but different teams at this particular point now. I do think they deserve, though, because of that win, a look as a slight favorite. But I'd be shocked if this total drops into the 150s at any point here, Ben. I think the initial move to the under is expected. If you're looking to bet the under, don't bet it now. I would wait because we all know the over money is coming, Ben, before tip.
And Florida has gone over in every single game so far, all four of their wins in the big dance. They have gone over in 11 straight games as well. Joe, that win for Florida on the road, on the plains against the Tigers back on February 8th, the second full Saturday in the month of February, was a defining victory for the Gators this year. It kind of legitimized what they were doing, overly impressive, but Florida did not play the non-conference slate that a couple of their conference compatriots, Auburn or Alabama, did. So to win that game as a double-digit dog, which looking back, now seeing Florida getting 10.5, 11 points from anybody is ridiculous, even on the road against the Tigers. But I think that was a statement for Florida to put up 90 against Auburn on the road and win outright. It was also their second win in those 12 victories in their final 13 games, including the SEC tournament, before the big dance. And in all 12 of those wins, Florida covered. Florida has not covered except for one game, second half, and the Sweet 16 against Maryland on Thursday night. I do find this line incredibly interesting. And in terms of the money already, Joe, in terms of the spread, 75% of the money in the spread betting on the FanDuel Sportsbook back in the Gators early on.
Yeah, and it doesn't shock me. And I don't know that we're going to get a ton. I don't know we're going to get a ton more movement, Ben, if we're being completely honest here. I think that we're going to see a pretty healthy dose of folks wanting just to take the points regardless because they see the teams even. I think you're going to see also a lot of hedging this week, Ben, with people who are holding tickets for Florida to win a national championship, that this is their opportunity to back Auburn. I think that's going to affect some of these numbers and the ticket handle as well at FanDuel because when else are you going to do it? Now's the time to hedge out at plus money with Auburn. Well, now is the time to hedge it out if you're holding a Florida ticket.
Auburn, the number one overall seed in the big dance. And I would say, Joe, that for all 40 minutes, looked a part of that number one overall seed, really, for the first time in this tournament yesterday against Michigan State. Sure, they only win by 6 at the end. A flurry of scoring from the Spartans. Auburn was up double digits for a good majority of the final half of the opening half and the second half against MSU for a team that dropped three of their final four games entering the Big Dance, playing a lot better. Under in five of their last six, under in three of four for Auburn here in the NCAA tournament. The Tigers, by the way, only a dog three times this year, twice in the non-conference, a semi-away game against Houston. It was not played inside the Fertitta Center, but in the Toyota Center, the home of the Rockets in H-Town early in the year. Game number two for Auburn. If you remember, the story for that game was an Auburn team playing that had to turn around because of a fight on board. For where that Tigers team began the year to where they are now, pretty incredible stuff. They won outright as a 5.5-point dog against Houston. They were a 3.5-point dog against Duke on the road in Durham. Lost that game by six. The last time Auburn was an underdog on the road in Tuscaloosa, middle of February, a matchup of 1-2 in the AP poll. The Tigers won that game outright. Joe, I think you have two very dangerous teams facing each other in what should be an instant classic, at least we hope, in the Final Four to start on Saturday night. And that will be a theme. Because of how good these teams are, we should be in for some marquee matchups in San Antonio, at least we hope.
And, you know, the cream will rise to the top, and it always will here in this spot. I do think, and I think maybe an interesting question, Ben, who has the coaching edge in that game?
Ooh, a really good question. You think Bruce Pearl has more of the experience, but what Todd Golden has done, pretty impressive. Ooh. By the way, Golden was hired on Bruce Pearl's staff earlier during their time at Auburn. More on the early line next. Yep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The first game of the Final Four on Saturday, an all-SEC affair between Florida and Auburn. 2.5-point spread in favor of the Gators. A total that stands at 160.5. Our nightcap, oh, man, on paper, this is one of the best basketball games you could ever dream of. It is Duke and Houston. The Blue Devils, a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under stands at 136.5. I think the 4.5-point number, Joe, speaks to the strength of this Duke team. But I also think it does not allow you to overlook Houston by any means. How competitive is this game going to be between the Cougs and the Blue Devils?
Impossible to choose here, Ben. It really is. I mean, this is another one of these where if styles make fights, right? Well, you're looking at two teams that are pretty much identical lockdown defensively. They also are capable of pulling it up, playing from three. Duke isn't exactly, we know Houston plays with zero pace. It's like watching paint dry, but yeah, Duke is not that far behind. Their choice is not to run up and down and get into some sort of crazy firefight here. So, I mean, both of these teams are so similar in so many ways. It feels like, Ben, the only value here is by taking points. And if you're going to get the market who's going to overvalue Duke, although it's warranted, is this more than a final possession game? There's no way I'm looking at an over, I'll tell you that. 15-9 to the under is what Sampson is with Houston in the tournament. I don't see this thing getting to 140 points, that's for sure as well.
And Joe, these two teams met last year in the Sweet 16. Very different cast and crew for Duke. A lot of the same pieces for Houston, especially because Jamal Shedd did not play in that game for the Cougars. They're emotional and on the floor leader last year as well. That game was 54-51. Houston was a slight favorite. Duke won outright as an underdog. Of course, whatever the pregame total was, I think in the low 130s, did stay under. So far in this NCAA tournament, Houston has played to the under in three of four games. They got off to a very slow start against Gonzaga. Then the Zags in their comeback in the round of 32 kind of opened it up to go over a total of 141.5. Again, Houston like Auburn, as you would expect as a one seed in the NCAA tournament, has not been booked as an underdog often this year. Just once on the road in Allen Fieldhouse to end out January. That was a crazy game. Kansas was up by as many as 20, I believe, before Houston rallied to win outright as an underdog. One of the worst defeats the KU has taken inside the fog in a very, very long time. Duke, though, in the NCAA tournament, has covered Joe in three of their four games. The only game they did not, that was against Arizona in the Sweet 16. They still won by seven as about an 8.5, 9.5 point favorite. Duke has been a favorite in basically every game this year, especially since ACC play got started, laying at least 6 points. This will be the shortest number in favor of Duke since they began in the calendar year 2025.
There's no doubt this is the hardest one to pick here. And the fact that, I don't want to say overvalued, Ben, but we know the public is going to love themselves some Duke here.
And they do.
Are they capable of winning this thing by a touchdown? Absolutely they are. But with the kind of pace I think that's going to be played and shots are going to be at a premium, it doesn't feel like either of these two teams are going to be able to win by multiple possessions. So it just feels like I'll take the points regardless, one way or the other, because that's, I'd want to be having points given to me as opposed to having to lay it in the spot.
Yeah, and I think that's a really sound philosophy as well, Joe. One of the things that I think will be a key matchup indicator that I thought was really different for Duke this second weekend, playing against a team in Arizona that wants to play with pace, and of course Alabama, who wants to be as fast as you can. Entering the Sweet 16, Duke held their opponents to the slowest average possession length in the country, 364 of 364, at exactly 19.6 seconds on average. That is almost the entirety of the shot clock on average. What exactly is the average possession length for Houston on the offensive end of the floor? 19.6 seconds. That should work in Duke's favor to keep this game slow. 136.5, a very intriguing total for a nightcap on a Saturday in the Final Four. That does it for hour number two here on the Early Line. Our third and final hour comes your way up next, right here on SportsGrid.